Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, and sitting across from me,
it's Gary LeMaster sitting in for Michael Cosentino, who decided he'd rather teach high school students this morning and be on the radio.
Maybe he's avoiding a really difficult and complicated subject. The broader subject is dark money, and I think anybody who watches TV and who reads, say, the Arizona Republic or any of the major newspapers know that this was the dark money year of Arizona politics. Gary, why don't you run down some of the dark money contributions? Then we're going to focus on, I think, one of the most corrupt and corrupting corporations in the country, the Arizona Public Service.
Well, we can't prove a lot with that.
We cannot prove it.
Be careful.
But their denials are non-denials, so we can go into that. But I think we have a, what we have, the issue here, folks, is you have a for-profit entity, owned by, Pinnacle West, Capital, which is regulated. So the deal for when you get to monopolies is we give you a monopoly because we don't want 10 companies, putting power lines all over everywhere. It just won't work. There has to be pretty much one company. And, the same thing. So, you know, you can see that in a little bit in Sedona with the garbage trucks. Now, if you had a municipal garbage truck, thing or one company, there'd be one set of garbage trucks. But you have like five or six garbage companies, so you have five or six garbage trucks companies going through your neighborhood. So and that's sort of an iffy thing. Now, should that be a monopoly or not? That's an open question. It's debatable. But something like electric power is a monopoly. The trade-off for having a monopoly for the American people and the government giving you a monopoly is that we regulate you so that you can't really exploit it. And what we have in APS is a company that has decided to control who regulates it, and they've done it successfully. Gary, so run down some of the dark money generally, and we'll talk about how this affects and APS's role in this and Pinnacle West's role in this.
Well, we have apparently the best government money can buy, and I'm wondering when we get to the buy one, get one free stage. But according to a report,
it is astonishing, Gary. It really is astonishing. And I think there was a headline in one of the papers that said, you know, whoever had the most money won all the races in this year.
Pretty much, at least in statewide offices. But according to the final numbers aren't in, or at least I couldn't find them, but according to a report by the Arizona Republic, by the end of October, $26 million had been spent by outside groups on and just the Arizona statewide races, not the congressional races.
$26 million. How many of small contributions, folks, would it take to reach $26 million? So it's not coming from the citizens. It's coming from powerful, mostly out-of-state money being filtered into the Arizona races and done either surreptitiously or semi-surreptitiously. We can trace some of this money, and then eventually we'll be able to trace some of it. Some of it, we will never know who put the money into these campaigns. That's what dark money is. Dark money is money that you can't trace back. You don't know who paid for the ad. The fact that it says, Arizonans for Free Enterprise or something doesn't mean anything. It's a front group. Gary?
If you look at, most of it came from, let's be honest, most of it came one-sided from the Coctopus. Through groups like Americans for Prosperity, the Free Enterprise Club, 60 Plus, American Encore, and Save Our Future Now. But if you look at, you know, there was money on both sides, but if you look at the statewide races for governor, $4 million of outside money was run on behalf of Fred Duval and against Ducey, compared to $8.2 million, more than twice as much, for Ducey and against Duval. Total spending for the governor's race was nearly $19 million. I think an all-time record. I think every election is a new record. In the race for attorney general, which is one that generally, you know, over the years has gotten very little attention and therefore very little money.
Kind of a nonpartisan position, really.
Right. $2.4 million was run against Felicia Rodellini, and $1.7 against Mark Brnovich. And
hundreds of thousands of the dollars against Felicia Rodellini came from APS, or we believe they came from APS.
We can't prove APS deny
in writing that they contributed the money. The problem they have with, and what their spokesman and some of their lobbyists have said, and this is a complex thing because in certain situations says APS, well, we didn't do that. Our lobbyists did it independently of us. Okay. So anybody who believes that, I've got a bridge and, you know, the London Bridge, I can tell you.
No, they continue to deny that they did. So if we go on, we get to the one that I think is more, telling with regard to APS is the Corporation Commission. There was a total spending for, again, this is generally a non-political office that has garnered very little attention. A lot of people don't even know what the Corporation Commission does.
When we talk to folks, we often have to explain what the Corporation Commission does and why it's important. And it regulates all the utilities in the state. In other words, it keeps utilities from charging you whatever they happen to want to charge you for whatever they want to charge you for.
And in this campaign, total spending for the commission was $4.9 million. $3.8 million of that came from outsiders, so from outside the individual campaigns.
And it starts in the Republican primary. APS apparently starts pouring money in to defeat two Republicans. And so we have this nasty, nasty fight for the Republican nomination. And there are two candidates that APS likes and two candidates that they don't like. And they poured a lot of money, and their company that owns them, Pinnacle West, poured a lot of money. At least everybody involved thinks they poured a lot of money. They did it surreptitiously, so it's hard to prove. And they poured it into choosing. One of the commentators said APS basically bought the people who are going to regulate them. Personally, and I think the general rule should be that companies that are regulated cannot contribute to campaigns of people who regulate them. It should be against the law. It is corruption. APS is corrupting the political process by deciding who regulates them and who decides these issues. It is simply corruption to be able to buy the people who regulate you. That's not what was intended. The reason we have regulators is we have.
If I can get a word in edgewise, actually the APS has a corporate policy prohibiting them to participate in the Corporation Commission elections.
But one of their spokesmen said,
and again, they deny that they have spent any of this money on these races. So we have to tread carefully there.
I don't know how carefully we've got to tread on this, because they also said they can't promise. So the money starts pouring in the Republican primary, and there's two candidates that apparently APS now. Yeah, we don't have exact proof for it because it's dark money. And the whole point of dark money is you can't exactly trace it. But in 2013, there was a battle. See, there's two battles going on here, folks. One is between the solar panel industry, and the other is between this giant corrupt utility. And the solar panel industry and APS had a big fight back in 2013. And APS at that time denied they put money into all these ads that were funneled through, I believe, through Sean Noble's group. They compared solar companies to Solyndra. Solyndra was the innovative solar company in California that had come up with a new way to more effectively collect solar energy, and they were pretty much destroyed by Chinese dumping of solar panels very cheaply. So these people are actually the competitors with Solyndra. But that fight, they first denied that they contributed anything to it, and then I guess people were tracking them down, and then they admitted they did. They admitted that they contributed a great deal of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to this battle with the solar industry. So it's in some ways it's a battle of the big boys. It's a battle of the solar industry, which is much smaller and weaker, and the giant utilities over solar energy. So if you ask APS, they're going to tell you they love solar energy. They're all in favor of it. Legally, they have to, by 2000, and I think, let me get my notes here, by 2030, they have to reduce the amount of emissions, and they have to have a certain amount of solar.
What's at stake here is that APS has already filed a proposal to eliminate the requirements for utilities to meet a portion of their energy demand through efficiency programs that were intended to reduce consumption. According to the Arizona Republic, those programs will conserve water, reduce pollution. They are also projected to save consumers $9 billion off utility bills through 2020. So what APS wants to do, they've already filed for it, is to undo that rule that was passed back in 2010 by a bipartisan corporation commission.
That's a terrible idea, but that's not really what we're objecting to. What we're objecting to is the widespread suspicion by pretty much all of the press and all of the media involved that ATS is doing things surreptitiously, as well as public. They can say we want the elimination of rooftop solar requirement, and that's what they've asked for. In other words, there's a rooftop solar requirement. APS is required by 2025 to produce 15% of its electricity from renewable sources. 4.5% of that is supposed to be rooftop installations. And they want, and there's a rule that they have to do this, and they want to get out of the rule, right, Gary?
Yeah, I approached them about 8 years ago with an idea to raise solar in the installations of rooftop solar in the state. And I was basically laughed out of their office. They really had no interest in any rooftop solar. What they want is the large, cover the desert solar plants, with mirrors that, heat water so they can control the generation.
They want control.
They want to control the generation of electricity because it's their product, their commodity. And if they allow too many people in the state to get rooftop solar,
they lose control, right?
They lose control, and then they, there is a legitimate issue in that they are responsible and have invested in the grid.
That's correct. I agree with you totally. There is a buried in all of this, there is a legitimate issue of you're producing solar power. You're selling it back to APS from your rooftop. Do you have to pay for the, help pay for the grid?
Right now, even if you have solar, you aren't totally off the grid. You know, they don't have storage capability enough for homeowners to run the appliances and so on overnight. So you have to be attached to the grid.
So that's a legitimate argument. How much people should pay to be attached to the grid, and APS wanted $50 to $100 a month to be attached to the grid. Now, of course, the grid is already built, 99% of it, and it just needs repair. But they wanted $50 to $100. Now, that would basically destroy the economic motivation to have solar panels on your roof. There was a fight in the Arizona Corporation Commission, and the fee is now $5 a month. But with their control of the Corporation Commission, if they can do it without too much public outcry, and the problem they have here is it affects consumers directly, citizens directly, and it's not an invisible, hidden charge. So that's the fight. And I agree with Gary. There's a legitimate reason that people with solar grids should help pay for the grid.
And the grid needs desperately to be rebuilt. About half of all the electricity generated in the U.S. is just lost on the grid. It just vanishes. So we're generating twice as much electricity as we actually use. Which means that we're burning more fossil fuels than we should. And we're way behind other countries. I was reading an article the other day that Copenhagen by 2020 expects to be entirely, fossil fuel free. All of Denmark, actually.
Yeah. And Germany is making great progress in this, right? The problem with coal is one of the science groups said that coal's dirt. It's dirt that burns, and it burns very dirty. It creates a lot of pollution. And in Arizona, I think almost 60% of our electricity, I mean, you look at beautiful Arizona, 60% of our electricity is generated by coal.
And the other problem with coal is that it has a lot of heavy metals in it. So you know, when you burn coal, you're also putting mercury and lead into the air. If you look at a lot of Canada's electric generation is coal-fired, and if you look at the lakes across the upper Midwest in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, in testing those lakes, they have warnings of not eating more than one fish per week out of the lakes because of acid rain and the effects of lead and mercury in the water.
I do want to correct myself. It's 40% of the energy in Arizona is produced by coal. The problem is the pollution particularly affects children and babies, and so there are 13,952, the last figure I saw, children with asthma. The amount of asthma increases when you're close to a coal-burning plant. And so that's a health concern. And the thing is, industries like APS are always trying to externalize their costs. They want to burn coal, but they don't really want to clean it to the level necessary because it's expensive. And that's a serious issue. There are 6 power plants in Arizona. How do we solve this? Well, there are 2 fights. 1, APS is fighting the solar industry, and 2, it's fighting the EPA. So when Gary mentioned earlier that they poured a bunch of money, or we suspect, but we can't prove, that they poured a bunch of money into the Attorney General's campaign. Well, why would they do that? Well, they decided that the Republican candidate was more favorable to suing the EPA to stop it than the Democratic candidate, even though Felicia Rollini said that she was in favor of suing the EPA. The EPA regulations, folks, are a proposal. It's already watered down. It's going to be watered down more. And what it does is move the United States closer to the kind of energy use that Gary's talking about in Europe. I think the worst plant is the Irvington plant because it's in the Tucson area. I think it's much worse than Navajo Generating Plant, and because it affects a much larger population. I think the goal in the U.S. is to slash CO2 emissions by 30% by 2030. What's happening is that coal-fired plants in most places are being replaced by natural gas plants because
they're being converted to natural gas.
Yeah. See, the advantage of burning a cheap and dirty energy is that you don't really have to pay for the medical care for the people that it hurts. You don't have to pay for the damage to the buildings and stuff that comes from this kind of pollution.
And
you get to externalize your costs.
And let's be clear that the only reason they're converting coal-fired plants, or the main reason they're converting them in the last few years, has been because we've found so much natural gas in the U.S. that the price of natural gas has made it cheaper to use than using what had been, you know, for decades, the lowest price fuel was coal. So, you know, if the price of natural gas went up again, I don't have a lot of confidence that we wouldn't be back to burning coal again.
Yeah, it's a question. And the other thing is to really get coal clean. I mean, there's these clean coal ads and stuff. They're, you know, according to a scientist, environmentalist, there right now isn't really a clean way to burn coal. It just produces a lot of pollution. There's ways to improve it, and to APS credit, they have all kinds of scrubbers. They've been forced to have them installed on places like the Navajo generating plant.
The term clean coal is really totally a falsehood. There is no such thing as clean coal.
So what people want you to do and is to focus on the jobs that are being lost by the conversion of, well, let's take solar energy. You know, how many people, think about APS has a lot of employees, thousands and thousands of employees, but how many Arizonans get employed to install solar panels? In other words, when they talk about job losses from closing or modifying these plants, they're not counting the jobs created by installing solar. And right now, particularly rooftop solar is a heavily involved in hiring people. I mean, it's a person heavy industry. You have to have people come and physically put the things in. They're manufactured. Some of them are manufactured here, I believe.
There's probably, in just the Verde Valley, there's probably a half a dozen solar companies out installing, selling and installing rooftop solar panels.
And one of the reasons that APS's plans to charge so much to go on the grid was that 80% of the Arizona rooftop solar panel installations are leased. In other words, people can't afford still to buy solar. And now the leasing allows ordinary people to put solar panels on it. And what happens is that the APS is losing control. So they have some plans where they will install 2,000 solar panels, but we won't give you the electricity. We'll take the electricity and we'll give you a discount. So wherever you look, they're looking to control this market. Yeah. They're looking to install the panels rather than working with the solar industry.
The other thing that they've planned to do, if not already done, is if you purchase your rooftop solar panels, then you pay a lower fee to APS than if you lease them. I think that's pretty obviously a pander to the wealthy, because it costs a lot to put solar panels up on your house.
Yeah, so, and it takes a decade or more to get your money back.
Anybody can afford to lease them, but only a few people can afford to buy them.
I mean, so, if you're really off the grid, you don't have any choice, and then there you go. But if you're on the grid, you know, it takes a long time to get your money back, and that's why people don't have to put money up front and are going in. And what's happened is the solar industry has taken off, and that's frightened APS terribly. And there've been, and so what they've done, or what we suspect they've done, as Gary would say, or what we very much suspect they've done, is that they poured tons and tons of money to maintain control of the market. They want to control the amount of solar, who builds it, who installs it, how it's paid for. And they put out a series of proposals that would really damage the solar industry, and the solar industry fought back. Now, that's two big boys fighting each other, and the consumers and the rest of us are sort of in between.
I want to make it clear about this whole issue of whether they did or didn't. The only thing that's been proven against the APS with dark money is this is a result of an Arizona Republic investigation that in 2012 election, they helped pay for a mailer just days before the election that supported Commission Chairman Bob Stump and Commissioners Susan Bittersmith and Bob Burns. And that was one of the tipping points for the election. They had long denied doing it, but the investigation by the Republic proved that they had. And, you know, again, that goes against their own stated policy, is that prohibits them for participating in commission elections.
I don't know, Gary. When they respond to me, it's a non-denial denial. Although we typically do not comment on individual contributions, we routinely support public officials, candidates, and causes that are pro-business, i.e. pro-APS, and are supportive of a sustainable energy future for Arizona, regardless of party affiliation. So they did give $10,000. See, there's, folks, there's dark money, but there's also open contributions, and their lobbying group, their PAC, for example, gave $10,000 to each of three Democratic congressional candidates who opposed the EP, the Environmental Protection Agency rule. So they do play both sides. And so what a lot of companies do in their public PACs is they'll give about 70% of their money to Republicans, and they'll give about 30% of their money to Democrats just to keep their hand in case the Democrat wins.
To further elaborate on the on APS's denials, Jim Holloway, who was a Democratic commission candidate, and Lucy Mason and Vernon Parker, who were Republicans running in the primary, Parker and Sandra Kennedy, who was another Democrat running, were both really ruthlessly attacked by dark money. They've all, you know, sent letters or directly asked a question of the CEO, Donald Brandt, whether or not that they had paid for the the dark money against them, and he flatly refused to answer. And then later on you get that statement you read.
Because of the tactics of a number of organizations, this is APS, employing to misrepresent important regulatory issues, we may need to respond to set this record straight, et cetera, et cetera. So they do it. And one of the – see, a lot of this is almost forensic. It sort of follow the money. Like, why there's a contest for Secretary of State, somebody – it's funneled through the American Free Enterprise Club and Save Our Future Now dark money groups, spent $234,000 in support of a guy named Justin Pierce for Secretary of State, and another $48,000 advocating against his opponent, Will Cardin. Why all this money? Why is this guy receiving all this dark money? And where does it come from? Well, Justin Pierce's father is on the Corporation Commission and is considered utility-friendly, i.e. APS-friendly. So it raises suspicions, folks. And, you know, if you criticize us for suspicions, think about the way the money is being funneled. It's being funneled surreptitiously. So if we're suspicious, APS can actually just come clean and say, we did not get any money whatsoever to any of these dark money groups. We never have and we never will, and we will never support or try to control who's on the Corporation Commission who regulates our industry. All they have to do is say a statement like that. In the past, they've denied that they've done anything, and then we find out that Pinnacle West, who owns them, has done it, has made the contribution. So, maybe it's true, but not true, you know?
Let's be clear about that, too, is Pinnacle West is nothing more than a holding company.
That's true.
It is APS, and it has, you know, virtually no other holdings. I'd like to point out a few statistics, too, that where you can see what's at stake is that, Donald Brand, who's the CEO of Pinnacle West and also APS, received $11.5 million in compensation in 2012. In 2013, it fell off the cliff. It dropped all the way down to $8.1 million. Compensation for the other officers, executives in APS, and Pinnacle West range from $1.6 million to $2.2 million annually. The company measures its revenues by the billions and its net income by the tens of millions. For the third quarter of this year, it reported a net income of $244 million. And it's the largest taxpayer in Arizona. But, you know, it's like my accountant used to say, and in the years when I was making pretty good money, he said the bad news is you pay taxes. The good news is you made enough money that you have to pay the taxes. So, they may be the largest taxpayer, but they're also one of the largest, net income companies in the state, if not the largest.
And there was a recommendation, I forget, by one of the, investment banks, when it looked like they were going to defeat the Republican candidates for Corporation Commission, in the Republican primary, the price of the recommendation for the price for Pinnacle West stock went up just on the idea that their Republican candidates or the utility friendly Republican candidates, the APS-friendly Republican candidates, were going to win, sent a recommendation of the price up of their stock. So there's a lot of money involved. Gary's talking about billions of dollars, but the victory, you'll see the effect of them now getting control of the Corporation Commission.
In the share price, about half of the compensation of the directors and the officers of Pinnacle West and APS, about half of their compensation is based on the share price of the stock. So if the share price goes up, then they cash in big time.
Most of their CEO's money, a good half of it, Gary, comes in from that. Mm-hmm. Source. Just to go back to the Pierce candidacy, this is what we're up against, folks, and why. So here's a quote. While APS has not publicly supported Pierce candidacy, the Huffington Post reported last October that APS's chief lobbyist reserved a room at a Phoenix country club for a Pierce campaign event. Pierce's spokesman said that at the time, the lobbyist was simply provided access at the request of a friend. So there's all these suspicious things, but you can't really prove. We can't really prove that APS is having their chief lobbyist forward this guy's campaign, and they have an alternative explanation where they're just, you know, and I guess they didn't ask which friend requested this. But.
And therein lies the problem with the dark money, is because of the IRS rule that says the nonprofits don't have to reveal their the sources of their income revenue, basically it becomes a big money laundering operation. Is
Citizen United made it worse, Gary?
So absolutely. So the Koch brothers, for example, and they're not the only ones; they're just the largest ones, can donate, you know, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars to an organization that's nonprofit, and then that organization can funnel it out into other organizations. That's why they're referring to it as a coctopus. And by the time you get to three or four organizations down, all nonprofits, you know, it's becomes exceedingly difficult to tell where the money came from and who's spending it on what.
For example, a 527 organization has to report its donors, right?
Right.
So it doesn't have to do it in quite a timely basis, but the donors can be a dark money group, a nonprofit that's contributed. So you still don't know where the money is coming from. You still can't trace it back. And Gary is right. We cannot prove a lot of stuff that pretty much everybody in the media in Arizona suspects.
I just don't want the electricity cut off to my house.
Well, yeah.
The other thing that is involved in this dark money, I think it's important to note, is that we could solve this, you know, fairly easily overnight. Is, you know, yes, Citizens United and Vallejo versus Buckley and I forget the other Supreme Court decision, all, you know, contributed and opened up the floodgates for dark money spending. But one of the biggest issues was I believe, happened in the 1950s when the IRS changed its rule governing 501c4s and 501c3s, where they said the organizations... The rule used to be that organizations had to, they could involve themselves in politics, but they had to be exclusively dedicated to education or other issues. I believe the 1950s, that was changed to say primarily. So now you have these organizations like Save Our Future Now that claim to be educational organizations, and what they're really doing is spending all of their money in politics and saying that they're educating the public.
The big IRS scandal was that the IRS got to question some of these new phony groups. Almost all of them are not really educational organizations. They're almost all political organizations. The IRS got in trouble because they seemed to favor conservative groups, which were exploding at that time. But that's the problem. I mean, they're basically all lying about what they spend their money on.
And to make matters even worse, the Federal Elections Commission consists of six people. Three Republicans and three Democrats. Well, it used to be up until the last election that a dark money group could attack other candidates, but they could not, you know, promote
a candidacy.
A candidate. And the they started doing that in this campaign, and the Republicans on the FEC refused to act to stop the groups from doing commercials for candidates. So in the Arizona governor's race, for example, you had American Encore that was running ads that, you know, unless you looked at the small type on the screen at the end of the commercial, was a vote for Doug Ducey, commercial, which ran. That was the preponderance of the money spent in the governor's campaign, and it was not paid for by the candidates.
The dark money overwhelmed, and the external money, the non-candidate money, the non-party money overwhelmed the election this time. If you look at these darn charts, I mean, it's like the amount of dark money is like tripling each one of these elections. More and more, a few billionaires and millionaires are really able to affect elections and run candidates. The country is headed down a really dark path of a few people controlling an awful lot. So if you look at the APS situation, if you look what happened in this last election, APS got its two corporation commissions that are utility friendly, that is, will agree with APS positions. They got and Felicia Lollini, an attorney general candidate who specializes in white collar crime misuse, who tends to sue people who rip people off, like the Baptist. She's her biggest case. So they eliminated her, who might have investigated some of their activities. They helped eliminate, we think, we don't know for sure, as Gary would say, Terry Goddard. And Terry Goddard's campaign was about limiting dark money in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So it's a 3-4. It's like it's like a home run of getting control of things.
We now have an exclusively Republican Corporation Commission, and every statewide office is controlled by one party, and they're all very, very friendly to corporations. And if you look at some of the national headlines, you'll see that the plans for the Republican leadership in Congress is now to eliminate those dastardly regulations against corporations, and they're going after the EPA and any other regulations on corporations.
Yeah, I mean the Corporation Commission was not really split. I mean, in some ways, in the past, there were solar friendly folks who were Republicans on the commission, but now it's totally dominated by utility friendly guys. I think Gary is right. He's making an important point, which is they're trying to move the game so that the ordinary American people have less and less say in who runs the government, and the corporations and the wealthy will have more and more say. It's congruent, or it fits well with their program to limit who can vote, to cut down the voting. Most countries in the world try to get everybody to vote. I mean, Australia fines you if you don't vote.
We only have about a minute left. Do we have any announcements from our sponsors?
Yes, our big announcement is Gary and Mike Costantino will be interviewing Barbara Luttrell and a group whose focus is the huge percentage of people in our jail and prison that are mentally ill. The prisons have become the big mental hospitals with no treatment.
So it's
people.
It's a program on mental illness, yes. And there's nobody more qualified than me to help lead that discussion.
Between you and Mike, I think we'll have a great mental illness program. It's all about the over-incarceration. I think we've talked about it before, folks. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. Our sentences are longer than Russia and China. I mean, we're not comparing ourselves to Sweden here.
In Arizona, we've turned incarceration into a profit center.
Yeah, and it's a for-profit industry. So I think this will be a really interesting program. It's a campaign. It's local to the Verde Valley, and I think you'll see a great deal of information. Tune in next week. Visit our website, www.vvid.org. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.